As I read the New Testament scripture this morning, pay attention to what Jude is trying to tell us about being Christians in a time such as today. But dear friends, remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus foretold. They said to you, in the last times there will be scoffers who will follow their own ungodly desires. These are people who divide you, who follow mere natural instincts and do not have the Spirit. But you, dear friends, by building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. Be merciful to those who doubt. Save others by snatching them from the fire. To others, show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupt flesh. To him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. And this is the word of God from very long ago to you, the people of God, today. Now, I have to say a little word about that saying. Bonnie mentioned that she got it from me. Well, I did not make it up. I got it from another minister that I had, and I asked her if I could use it, and she says, well, sure, I got it from the bishop. So you never know how far back that saying might have come, but we are the people of God today. And this is a living word for us today. As I pondered this scripture and wondered how God wanted it presented, I thought back to 1981. We were living in El Paso, Texas. It was a rainy and cold day, which was unusual. And I had built a fire in our fireplace, and when it started going out, all that was left were the dying embers. So I went over and I got another log and put on it, and I waited patiently, well, not so patiently, because it was getting cold, and I went over and I began to fan the fire. All I got was a whole bunch of billowing smoke into the room. And I checked the damper, and of course it was still open. But then I thought, I wonder if I blew on it, if it would help. So I bent down and I blew on the embers, and poof, the fire just started. And it was a big roaring fire. And I sat down and was looking at it, and all of a sudden that little inner voice that I recognize as God said, this is like the church. And I thought, well, how is that? And that low voice said, those of you who are on fire with the Holy Spirit, try to fan those who are sitting around you in church. You try to catch them on fire, but all you get is a lot of smoke. But when I breathe my spirit upon the church, it is going to go out like wildfire. Well, folks, I have carried that word within my heart for the last 40 years. I've been persevering in faith for the church that will one day experience the Holy Spirit breath of God, and the church will catch the body of Christ up in that fire of revival. Folks, we are there. It's happening. And we now need to know what to do. Looking back in history, we find that every major revival was preceded by a time of darkness and gloom, when people turned away from living for God, and they had sin in their lives so great that it seemed to take over the world. The Old Testament reading this morning was about the coming day of the Lord. It calls people to return to God with repentance by rending their hearts and not their clothing. Our New Testament scripture from Jude brings us some very practical advice on how to persevere in faith during a time of darkness and gloom. As the day of the Lord draws near, God's judgment will come swiftly to those who continue to live in sin while refusing to repent and accept God's mercy and forgiveness. I believe we are in such a time today. We've had our lives so disrupted by COVID and its variants that we are in a time of great upheaval, where the masking has tried to quiet the Word of God, and churches that were considered non-essential left a great big void for spiritual darkness to get a foothold. Never in my lifetime or in yours has the world been so spiritually dry and in need of a spiritual awakening that will usher in the Holy Spirit-breathed revival fire. So let's take a look at the advice that Jude has given us. Jude was a brother of Jesus, but he called himself in this writing a servant of Jesus. He has for us some very practical advice. Jude first admonishes us to build ourselves up in our most holy faith. The first and foremost way to build up our faith is first to get to know what God's Word says in the Bible. How many of us leave the Bible sitting on a coffee table, just looking at it, never paying attention to really reading it? Hopefully this is not this group, but I know many families who do that. Reading our Bible daily gives us a firm foundation that will reveal to us a relationship that we can have with a covenant God who loves us. So build up your faith by entering into a deeper relationship with Jesus that will reveal the power of the Holy Spirit. I love the fact that this church has a lot of learning opportunities to build our personal faith through the different activities that we have, the Sunday school studies and the life groups and the prayer nights. And I'm sure there are many, many other things to name. But there comes a time when God calls us to put into practice what we have been learning. So we must step out in faith, go out on a limb, and do something that will test our faith in order to deepen it. During the time that our children were in grade school, I was a stay-at-home mom. And I had decided one day that I needed to clean out my closet and get rid of all my old clothes that had gotten so threadbare that I couldn't sew them together any longer. They wouldn't stay sewn. And so I decided I'd go in and I'd start pitching everything. And when I finished, I only had a couple of really good outfits to wear. So I thought, well, okay, I get to buy some new clothes. So I figured if I would buy one outfit every time Ken got his paycheck, I would be fine. Well, that was a great plan until a week or two later when Ken came home and said, the company is letting me go. He had a few weeks of severance pay, but they were in the process of closing down the entire company. So now what was I going to do? I had to step out in faith. I didn't know how I was going to get enough clothes to wear. I was without any means to buy new clothes now. And I knew that God was aware of my situation. But in this instance, I was stepping out in faith and going to learn a very good lesson. I was going to learn that God was truly my provider. One of Ken's co-workers came to him one day when he went back in for a severance check, and she said she had been cleaning out her closets and wondered if Carolyn might need some outfits or if she would like to have some outfits, that she was getting rid of all these clothes of hers. Ken said, sure, I'm sure she would love them. So the next week when he went back in to get his next check, she took him out to her car, opened up the back door, gave him a couple of dresses, and he said, thanks, she's really gonna love those. And he started to walk away. And she says, wait a minute, Ken. She walks around to the trunk and opens it up, and it had not one, not two, not three or four, but seven huge green garbage bags full of clothing. Seven. And Ken drags them into the house, and the kids and I start going through them. We had so many clothes that fit us through all of that. She'd gone through her kids' closets and her closet. When I got done, the kids were all outfitted. I had more than enough clothing that fit. In fact, I had to hang an extra rod down to hold them all. When we finished, we still had three huge bags full left over. So we took them across the street to our family across the street that had 10 children. We knew somebody in that family was going to be able to wear them and get good use out of them. God was a provider, more than we could have ever imagined. But it took stepping out in faith to know personally that God could provide for us. Another item that Jude writes about, he lists for the persevering faith, is praying in the Holy Spirit. People often have trouble finding words to pray. But Romans 8:26 says, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. I don't know if you've ever been at that point where you don't have the words to pray, but truly, the Spirit groans for us. Praying in the Holy Spirit can also result in speaking words in a different language. Soon after I received my calling into ministry, I found myself praying in a language that I did not know. I wondered if it was really real, or if I was just doing a bunch of silly babble. And one day, I was looking up some words in my Strong's Concordance for a Sunday school lesson, and I spotted a transliteration, which is a pronunciation of the word. And that transliteration of one particular word sounded like a word that I had been repeating in my prayer language. So it took me months to go through this Strong's Concordance to find the words. But the entire phrase that I had been saying over and over and over was, oh, hear me, high priest. Now, in my English, I have never called Jesus my high priest. But in my prayer language, that's what I was calling him. It took me to a different level of understanding and relationship with the Lord. So praying in the Holy Spirit allows you to pray what the Lord's will is for any situation. It is a prayer from heaven to earth. Jude reminds us that through all of our trials and tribulations, we need to keep ourselves in the love of God. Jesus said in his Sermon on the Mount, blessed are you when men cast insults at you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely on account of me. So rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. For they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Folks, the enemy of our soul, Satan, wants nothing more than to have us fall away from the Lord when the going gets tough. In those times, we need to draw closer to the Lord and keep our mind saturated in the Word of God that pours His love out upon us. I took a young man to the altar one night. He was in high school. And as we prayed together, he got up and there was a cross right behind the pulpit. And it was kind of like this, but it was low enough that he could reach up and touch the cross beam. And as he reached up and touched it, he said, I never knew what kind of love God has for us. When you recognize that kind of love, your life changes. Jude tells us that not only do we need to stay in love with God, but we need to wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring us into eternal life. Oh, I don't know about you, but waiting is not for me. I'm not very good at waiting. It's very difficult, in fact. It takes us a lifetime of waiting for this eternal life to come. But we see glimpses of God's mercy in our life every time we have fallen short of God's glory and we repent and receive the mercy that we really don't deserve. But the mercy comes so that we don't enter into the punishment that we should receive. Jesus was sent into this world to take our punishment on the cross, and it will be the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ that allows us to enter into eternal life that He has for us. Now, those are four items that Jude has listed so far. They are, first of all, building yourselves up in your most holy faith. Number two, praying in the Holy Spirit. Number three, keeping yourselves in God's love. And four, wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. Now, how do we live out all that this is? Jude turns his emphasis now to the believers being what we heard Nathan Wells talk about, gospeling people. Gospeling people who are living out their persevering faith by sharing Jesus with others. So Jude writes, first of all, then, that we need to be merciful to those who doubt. Oh, boy. When you've got somebody in front of you who doubts whether Jesus is really real, you want to just ram their head down and say, "Listen to me." But that's not the way to do it. You need to have some mercy. When someone is doubting about the Christian faith, it's a great opportunity for us to share how we have encountered God's love in our own life and who Jesus really is to us. So rather than stuffing everything down into somebody's throat and making them agree with you, share what your life has been like with Jesus. In one of the churches that we were in, there was an elderly gentleman that would stand outside the door every Sunday, and he'd greet everybody. And if he had time, he'd strike up a conversation by saying, "Tell me about your Jesus." Well, that puts some people on the spot because they didn't have a personal relationship with Jesus. And if they hemmed and hawed around, well, he would enter in and start talking about who Jesus was to him. Such a nice way of entering into helping others learn who Jesus is and how he is real. As believers, we need to be praying for the people that we encounter who are doubting this Christian faith of ours and doubting the Lord Jesus' resurrection. Jude then shares another item about helping others, and he says to save others by snatching them from the fire. Now, when I had that understanding of the fire of God for revival, I wasn't thinking about those who might come under judgment. But when God breathes upon the church, it's going to catch the fire of the revival going, but there will be some who are going to be caught in the fire of God's judgment. They have refused to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior and have made a mockery of the faith. But even so, God does not want anyone to perish. As God's people, we must pray for the salvation of their soul to bring them into the kingdom. We need to put on the full armor of God so we are prepared to enter into the spiritual battle that will pull down the strongholds of the spiritual forces of wickedness in that sinner's life. Snatching people out of the fire requires attentiveness to listening to God's direction in prayer. And then we need to be obedient in doing what needs to be done. The last of Jude's advice to persevering faith is to show mercy mixed with fear to others, hating even the clothing that is stained by corrupted flesh. God loves this world so much that he sent his only Son, Jesus Christ, to become sin and to die on the cross for all sinners. Not just some sinners like you and me, but all sinners, even the ones who have committed the most despicable crimes. Here again, Jude says we are to show mercy to the sinner. But in doing so, we must be mindful that we don't get caught in the trap of their sinful life. Jesus defeated sin and death in his resurrection, and when we show mercy to the sinner, leading them to Jesus, the resurrection life brings them out of their grave, the grave of sin, into the world of God's love, peace, and joy. So persevering in our faith with others, Jude has told us that we are to be merciful to those who doubt, first. Second, save others by snatching them from the fire. And third, we are to show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. So as God's people, let us arise and persevere in faith until God breathes his holy fire upon this church once more. Let us pray. Lord, we all want to be your people that persevere in our faith. Sometimes it's very difficult. Sometimes we find ourselves in fear. And sometimes we just need to see your hand move. So, Lord, in this day, when the vision of a dying world is before our eyes, and we feel the heartbeat of the need of this world, we hear the cries of the people. Lord Jesus Christ, revive your church in this crucial hour. Awake your church with the Spirit that gives power to overcome. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for what we are doing this day and what you are doing as you bring that revival fire to this world. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Now, some words from that prayer come from a song that we're going to sing, A Vision of a Dying World. And pay attention to the words, because Ron found this song and it's just very appropriate for right now.
Let's stand and sing.